What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing, with myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
All right, folks, despite the fact I've never asked a woman if she's free for dinner and a flamenco, Jason once put his Nana in a home to keep her quiet, and Nick never gave his sister that 50 bucks from his father that he was supposed to. And yet, this podcast continues to be sponsored by our picture wall loving friends at Bits and Bits, who, by the way, always have to kiss you hello when we get together like we're Richard Dawson. Now, when Bits and Bits aren't planting lips on people's cheeks, they are hard at work making bits for routers in the CNC right here in the US of A, where you're going to have to pay $75 if you don't provide 24 hours notice for canceling an appointment at the physical therapist. Now, after Bits and Bits takes their mother to the chiropodist, or podiatrist as it's known today, I don't know if you guys knew that, it used to be chiropodist, but it got confused with chiropractic, so they changed it to podiatrist, and makes them bits, they lather them up with their proprietary coating, which has proven through extensive Kiss-Hello-free laboratory testes to give your Bits and Bits higher speeds and feed rates and extend the life of them by up to 3 times.
Did you say testes?
Testes.
Maybe?
Laboratory testes.
That's multiple sets of tests. Bits and Bits are also constantly coming out with new bits and expanding their tool menu, so unless you want to be caught with an outdated and old-fashioned hairdo, go check out their new tools page on bitsbits.com and hashtag GetFitBaby. And don't forget, they also take the Great American-made white side router bits and astrocode them so they can be fully optimized in your routers and other motor-driven things that go in circles at high rates of speed and won't have you go see a physical therapist for treatment. And finally, Bits and Bits is also an authorized Festool dealer, and I happen to have it on good authority from MJ himself that they have a healthy supply of Festool products and accessories from sanders, dominoes, dust extractors, track saws, abrasives, etc. And for those that don't know, abrasives are sandpaper. Because,
poor,
well,
Keith's personality.
It's a big building. And only when I've had 2 cups of coffee. And be so sure to go check out all of Bits and Bits' offerings at bitsbits.com and use coupon code MORSELS15 to save 15% off your next order of router and or CNC bits, because every time you use that coupon code, my morsels get one step closer to kissing you hello.
Hello!
Woo! And at this point, we have some exciting news.
Ooh, let's hear it.
So excited.
We have signed an additional sponsor for 2023. In the name of Jonathan Katz Moses Tools, or J. Katz Moses Tools, or just Katz Moses Tools.
Or KM Tools.
Ooh. Yeah, let's keep it simple. KM Tools. Now, are you looking for affordable, high-quality woodworking tools? Well, you need to check out the aforementioned Katz Moses Tools, or KM Tools. It's a small business proudly run by woodworkers for woodworkers like us, and their goal is getting you the most bang for your buck without skimping on quality. I've heard Jonathan say this so many times that he knows on most products there are ways to get products with the same quality but at a better price, and he passes that savings on to you and us. If it's in their store, remember, it's in their shops as well. They believe in people over profits and that woodworking should be accessible to all.
If it's in their store, then it's not a bore. Sorry.
Goes out the front door.
They're not a whore. That took me a while to come up with that. Okay, continue.
Yeah, you may want to bleep that for our first ad read. And J. Katz puts his money where his mouth is, because a portion of all sales are donated to the Katz Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund to help tools and resources. Oh, I'm sorry. Get tools and resources in the hands of those who need it most. So you definitely want to go check them out. How about right now? Well,
right now,
the podcast, but write it down.
I have to say, I'm really excited that KM Tools is sponsoring this, because I just got back from a trip down to California. I saw their world headquarters. It's a pretty sweet operation, and I was pretty impressed. It is absolutely true that if it's in their store, there's woodworkers that are using it because it's only quality stuff. So, and I was also shocked how much stuff they're selling now. Saw blades, bits, plug cutters, hand tools. I mean, it's crazy.
And I remember I had the J-Cats Moses stop block, the zero deflection stop block. I still have the original prototype that he had sent me that is just silver, aluminum. You know, now they're red anodized.
That original one's probably worth some money now.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I could never sell that.
Got to send it to the Smithsonian.
Well, and now there's going to be a new stop block release here in the next couple weeks. And it might have somebody's, you know, logo on it that you might recognize. But we won't. You know, I won't steal the ad read talking about that.
It'll be Key Woodworks.
False.
Yes, we did see those being laser engraved in your story. So that's exciting. Because everybody wants to use tools that have someone else's.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a thing.
I buy Veritas chisels and put my logo on them, like just like they're mine.
Well, before we get off of our new sponsor, just because I'm so excited about this, the other really cool thing about J-Cats is his motto is, and you might have said this, I just wasn't paying attention, that they're tools by woodworkers for woodworkers. And he has worked with a lot of other woodworkers who have had really cool ideas for tools and help them develop them. One of the ones that I used for the first time when I was down there is Tamar from 3x3 Customs, her 6-in-1 router jig. That thing is sweet and is available for pre-order right now on their website.
I own it. I was in on the first pre-order way back sometime last year. It's great.
Wow.
It's really great. I've used it several times. It's not something I use every day, but it's got a lot of cool features.
It is very
so
cool.
Definitely check that out and support Tamar.
All right. And with that, we wanted to thank some new patrons that have signed up. And this is in no particular order of importance, but I'm going to start with our favorites first. We've got Brian Green.
Wasn't he on 90210? Brian Austin Green?
Yeah. No, Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
We got Chad Aftedal. Aftedal. Jason Meske. Wow. Jason Barr. Jason Hibbs. Eric.
Wait, what?
I just added another Jason. Jason should always be red in three, so I added another one.
Oh, okay.
Eric. See, I'm not going to say Choli. I think it's Chloe, right?
I don't know.
I'm going out on all them. I don't know what. C-H-O-L-E. Eric Chole. Eric Cole. Eric Chala. Don't know. But it's Eric, and we love him. Austin Santiago. Aaron Big D. We got Taylor Blau. Taylor Blau. Daniel Kitamura. Kitamura.
Yeah.
And then Eric Stragluiski. Sturgulueski. Eric Sturgulueski. There you go.
Yeah.
Got them. And then we got a bunch of returning top tier patrons. We'll give them a big thanks towards the end of the podcast. And if you're not a patron, you can go to patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast and sign up. You get access to the after show. You can ask us questions, all that good stuff. Yeah?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
All the good stuff.
No.
So what's the update on the non-treehouse treehouse?
Oh,
is it completely done or what?
No. The outside is, for the most part, completely done. There's a few other little things I want to do to it. I ordered a slide that I need to install off the front deck.
Wait.
A drawer slide?
A giant slide. It's going to go off the balcony. It's going to loop around in a big loop and then go down.
Is it enclosed?
Like a Hot Wheels track?
Yeah, like those.
What
like
do you mean?
Like a tube slide. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh,
that's
dang.
Awesome.
Yeah, there's only one company in the entire country that sells a slide that would be tall enough because it's got to be for a 10-foot deck height because that's where the deck is. And I found one company. It's made in the U.S., and I bought a slide to hook on the front, and it was only $3,000.
Dude, you should have 3D printed it. Made itself in pieces.
It would have taken three years to 3D print that.
Probably. $3,000.
What's the only company in the U.S. that makes them?
So they cornered the market. Yeah,
and there's only three color options. I wasn't thrilled in the colors. There was yellow, blue, or like a forest green. So I went with forest green.
Green, yeah.
Well, that's not bad. Yeah.
I'd want clear. Yeah.
So wait, where are we at on the tally of how much this entire non-treehouse treehouse?
What are you gonna be able to write off?
Yeah, what is this getting written off?
We're probably up to $45,000.
Oh my god!
I mean, I had in my mind way back when you started at 40, so you far exceeded my expectations. Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be like 30.
I mean, once you pay for decking and windows and doors and siding and roofing and I mean lumber, it adds up. I'm not gonna lie, it adds up quick.
Yeah,
it does.
And to actually like double the square footage in that probably would have cost like barely
nothing.
Anything.
I know. Nothing.
If I would have known I was going to have to get it permitted anyways, then I would have done it.
Yeah, right. You could have.
I did my deal
it.
With the engineer. I slid him some cash, and he gave me the certificate of approval. So I just got to turn my permit paperwork in, and I think I'll be good to go. But. Yeah, but the exterior is pretty much done. I also am going to add this little like kind of playground area with some cross beams. I'm going to hook up a tire swing and some other swings. But the weather's been so terrible out there. I mean, it's just pouring down rain. I haven't had a chance to do that. And I'm not going to do videos on any of that stuff. But then this spring, at some point, I'll get back to it and I'm going to start working on the interior. So.
Well, what does that entail?
I don't know for sure. My son really wants an arsenal.
What?
He's like, Dad, on one wall, I want a full arsenal. And then,
like, what is that?
Well, in the same sentence, he said, "What's an arsenal?" I think he just heard it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Heard it somewhere. Anyways, I thought it'd be cool to do like a hidden wall, maybe behind like a picture or something. You push a button and the picture slides to the side, and it's all like his Nerf guns hanging up there or something like that.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but I want to do like that in the middle, like a big built-in unit on the back wall. So that could be in the middle, something that slides to the side or up, and it like reveals a bunch of Nerf guns. And then on either side, do double twin size Murphy beds that like fold down from the wall. So you can have like a camp out there.
Oh.
What's the square footage inside there?
It's 12 by 12.
Oh my god.
Wait, 12 by 12? What is that?
I don't know.
All right, that's pretty
good. Yeah, it's not bad. 1400? Yeah, it's not bad.
144 square feet.
Yeah.
Times
two. So, but I'm taking a break for a while. It was obvious I'm not the math man. I think my followers were getting tired, burnt out on the treehouse projects.
I know I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not even your follower.
Yeah, I don't even know who you are.
No, it's good to take a break and then come back when they forgot about it.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh. Well, is the Murphy beds going to be on the same side? Like bunk bed Murphy beds?
No.
No, opposite sides of the wall, so when you they come down,
no,
they make one long
you need to
mattress.
Make them, you need to make them Murphy bunk beds.
I don't even know if that's possible.
Oh. I don't think so.
Why not? Because the ceiling wouldn't
be tall enough. Well, because the roof ceiling isn't high enough.
Unless I did them right in the middle, like under the peak of the roof. I don't know. I think that'd be weird.
Well, you could have a mattress come up under the floor and then have one Murphy bed drop down on top.
Ooh. Yes. That's how you do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I got time to think about that.
Physics.
Or just throw two sleeping bags on the floor. Say, here you go, son.
Exactly.
That's right.
Rough it.
1998 version Murphy beds.
Yeah. As a kid, that's what I did. Throw out a tent in the front yard. That was camping.
Mm-hmm. Get a sleeping bag.
Do what Michael Scott does and make a tent out of your pants.
Cut your pants because it gets
hot.
I made
my own pants tent.
Die of starvation after 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's exciting.
I guess.
Yeah. That's cool.
But in the meantime, you got this newfangled whiskey cabinet with some funky doors.
Oh my gosh, this thing. I literally haven't even started building it yet. I'm still just playing around trying to figure out how I'm going to build the things I need to build it. because I had this idea for these doors. I don't know what you would call them. What do you call like a door insert that has holes in it? Like, not lattice, right? I mean,
still a door.
It's like a
panel.
I don't even know if there is a name.
I don't know what you.
It's a door.
It's a door.
It's a textured panel.
But yeah, my original idea was I could take a sheet of oak and drill a bunch of holes in a unified pattern, and a sheet of walnut and drill a bunch of holes in a unified pattern, and then just offset them. And by doing that, it would give this really cool like pattern to it. So I did that thinking it was going to be really easy and simple. And it did kind of do what I was thinking, but I didn't like that the oak and the walnut were on two different planes. It did, like the walnut kind of got lost behind the oak a little bit because it was set behind it.
Okay.
And so then I was like, well, what if I just cut out the shapes that you can see inside the circles of oak, and then I'll just make them all on the same plane. And that kind of worked. I showed an example in my stories on Instagram of like that far. And I sent you guys a picture. And it worked, but it was just almost impossible to get each of those internal shapes identical and perfect.
Well, because of how you're doing them, right?
Yeah, and just cutting them out, because you got to cut them out on three sides or four sides to fit inside the circle. And just to make all those cuts, there was no great way to cut them and mark them. And so then I had this idea of just drilling out the oak. So I have my circle pattern, and then making that shape out of just a long stick of wood. And then once I get that shape, I can just basically cut slices of it like a salami and then stick those inside the circle. So that's what I was playing around with on Friday. I went up to Bits and Bits. I got some really sharp cove bits, and I was able to make the shape. It looked literally like a walnut churro is what I wound up with.
I'm so hungry right now.
And that worked. The only difference is at that point then it's end grain for the walnut, which I'm okay with. I don't think it's a big deal. So that's kind of the direction I'm going with now. But then those pieces are so small that there's not a great way to glue that up. So now I'm like, I think I'm going to have to put a backer on the whole thing to give it some strength.
Why?
Just mini dominoes. The Dama Mini. The mini.
Mini dominoes.
But I kind of like the backer because I was playing around with that. And if I do like a cool colored backer, all that color will shine through. Yeah. Really.
Like a fabric? Or you think it would have to be a solid panel?
Yeah, I think I'll just do. My idea is to take quarter inch oak veneered ply and send it through the drum sander. Two pieces, thin it down, and then glue them back together. So I basically have like a really thin piece of oak veneered ply. Okay. And then I can paint one side whatever color I want to shine through. And then on the back, it'll just be, you know, oak when you open up the cabinet door.
Do the back black?
No. I think like, I don't know, like a sage green or like a orange kind of Jory Brigham style would look really cool.
No.
Keep black. It classy.
Yeah.
No, I think a color. I think we can do a color.
You'll know. You'll know when you see it.
Yeah, for one brief moment, I was like, well, I could just pour epoxy over the entire pattern and do whatever color I want. But then I think it does look cool to have the color set back at a different, you know, it gives it more of it more of a 3D dimension that way.
A little depth.
Yeah. So anyways, I've been cutting a lot of tiny little pieces and making little mock-ups. I feel like Keith in my shop making all these little mock-up things before I've even built anything.
It's fun, right?
So
prototyping.
Prototypes.
It's a waste of time is what it is.
That's exactly what it is.
It's totally self-indulgent. Enjoy it, though, dude.
But the good news is I think I've got a pretty good system down now, and it should actually go a lot quicker because I've taken the time to figure things out. So I'm at the point where I've glued up my panels of oak that I'm going to drill all my holes in. And then tomorrow I'm going to make my walnut churros to fit inside the holes. And then I just got to,
Now, were you finding when you were making that churro that once you got to that last cove to cut, was the thing a little wonky?
You know,
or you glued on? I know you got the mating bit. You could have cut some dowels and glued them in, but there's a way to do it without doing that.
Yeah,
which I'm sure you already know.
I do know that. originally I spent a lot of time thinking through that, thinking it was going to be really hard to run that through on like the last piece. And my test piece, I just went for it. And it honestly wasn't that bad because okay. I was able to get featherboard still on it from two sides, holding it down and towards the fence. I had to kind of modify my featherboards to be raised up so they weren't flat on the surface, so that they were hitting the middle of the piece instead of down like lower. But I was able to do it. I know a lot of people suggested, well, you just don't, you know, do the cove all the way through. You leave a chunk that's still can reference.
On both ends, an inch on each end, yeah, roughly. But... And so you just like ease it into the bit and move and then stop short. But if you don't have to, then...
Well, the reason I didn't like that is the router table scares me. And in order to do this and get it really accurate, I didn't want to have to take multiple passes with the cove bit, and I'm taking off quite a bit, and so I just don't feel comfortable doing it without the feather boards there, just holding it by hand because I'm removing so much material, and there's no way with the feather boards there to ease it into the bit without, like, you know, feeding it in. So I have to remove all the material on the start of the cut. But what I think I'm going to do when I actually do my pieces, just to make sure they're good, is not go all the way through the board, leave some chunk on the end of the board because I can still reference that on the fence.
Exactly. Your gut tells you what, and that's a great thought right there.
But I will say, I was surprised how nice that cove bit, even though I'm taking off a ton of material, how easy it cut through that walnut. It was pretty impressive because it's a big old, it's an inch and a half.
New bits, sharp.
Well, 3/4 inch radius, but yeah, pretty crazy.
It's a big boy. That's really a job for a shaper.
No, I know. It really should be in a shaper, not a router.
Not the origin.
Yeah. An actual shaper.
not the origin.
But then I got hung up for a long time thinking that I had to not only like cut this churro piece, but the little... all four tabs that came out needed to match the radius of the circle that it was like going into, or the circumference, you know, the, but then I found out they're small enough. It really doesn't matter. They can just,
so even leaving them square,
leaving them square, it still fits in there really nice and tight. There's really no way you can tell, especially once I put some glue and sand. I mean, I got hung up thinking about a lot of things on this that are just a non-issue.
Glorious. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it'll look cool. I spent a really long time trying to figure out how I could do it in a way that it looked like, I don't even know if I can explain this, but right now it's just circles cut in the oak with the walnut in each circle. But I was trying to figure out a way that I could connect the pieces of walnut so they went over the oak and then under the oak, so it looked like it was like woven together.
A weave?
And I think I know a way I could do it, but man, it would take a long time. Basically, I'd have to like do it by hand on all of them and like mark it out and do a lot of chisel work to get it to weave in and out. Mm. I don't know
if it's worth it. Probably is not worth it.
Because it would go from having like a solid piece of oak to basically I'm back to like kind of a mosaic thing where I'm hooking a bunch of little pieces together to get the like weave look. So,
Sounds like it might be too busy for a small door like that.
Yeah. What you posted will look really cool for
a door. I think it'll look cool. Mm-hmm. And I still haven't decided. I know, I think on Instagram I had drilled the littler holes in all the pieces too. And I like the way that looks. I just don't know if that's too busy. I haven't decided if I'm going to do those secondary little holes on top of it or I don't know.
In the white oak or the walnut?
I did it in both.
Oh, you did it in the... Okay.
Yeah.
Well, whatever I saw that you posted doesn't seem too busy.
Well, that's good. We'll see. I'll figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really, I don't need a whiskey cabinet. I just wanted to try this door thing. See, look, can you... Wait. Could have put it in front of my face.
Oh, yeah.
Can't.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
there it is. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. No.
See how there's like little holes drilled in all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now are you going to orient it like that on a diagonal, like a diamond? Yeah.
Well, the circles will be oriented like that. When I drilled it out, it was, you know, the...
No, but I mean the actual panel.
Yeah, how will you put the panel in the door?
Like, oh, well, I'm just going to do a regular like shaker style door, and that internal panel is that whole sheet.
So you'll have like half of those will be cut.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which is another reason I think backing it will look a lot cleaner.
Ah, man. I think not having a backer on it will look really cool.
Because you can really see cool, the whiskey though. And stuff through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that. It's all going to come down to if I think the panel is strong enough once I get all those walnut pieces glued in there.
Oh, F it. Screw it if it's strong enough. I mean, it'll be fine.
You're very opinionated
it's just
about this.
A little glue.
Right?
Yeah.
Who cares if it's strong enough? It's just a panel. You're just going to look through it.
Just make two. Mm. And then you have the option.
I could do that.
And swap the doors in and out.
Yeah.
I mean, once you make one, that's another one.
Just, I mean, if I was to just pour epoxy in that pattern, if I did that brass epoxy poured in there, that'd look cool.
Mm.
But then it would be just flat on the front, you know?
Right. It wouldn't look as cool.
I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm making it up as I go.
I want to see through it and see, like, the
pappy. Well, if there's LEDs inside.
And the weller. But,
well, see, that was...
But you're not going to. You're going to be... There's going to be these little teeny gaps.
And it'll be dark in there.
Like trying to look through a peephole.
Yeah. I mean, if it was backlit in there, I could see doing the holes through there. But there is going to be mirrors on the back of the cabinet.
Oh, you're going to put mirrors on the back side?
I'm trying something new I've never used before. I got acrylic mirrors that you can cut on the table saw.
Wow. Yeah.
Which they just come in a sheet of like acrylic, and it literally, you would not be able to tell that it's not glass. It's pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff between acrylic and glass. I had this talk with my boss this past week because we were looking at buying
my boss.
Okay. Yeah. We were looking at a teleprompter, and we were wondering, you know, for a teleprompter, the split glass, if it's glass or acrylic, and acrylic has come such a far way that you can't tell if it's glass or not anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, not that glass. I feel like people are intimidated by cutting glass. It's really not that hard to cut glass. I mean, you just score it and it breaks wherever you score it. But
yeah, my morsels cut it in one fell swoop.
That's true. 15% at Bits and Bits.
As long as it's cold out.
It is a little more risky, though. I mean, it can chip and then like the edge can be sharp and all that. So it is nice that the stuff literally just looks like a mirror. You can cut it on the table saw. And
that's why. Did you get that on Amazon?
So,
I have to check that out.
And I will say, I'm assuming you can cut it on the table saw because I've cut acrylic on the table saw before, so I don't know why this would be any different.
It shouldn't.
I don't know.
It should
You'll
be
find out. Just beware safety glasses.
We'll find out.
Yeah. Don't get any chips.
There's going to be mirrors on the back, and then I got some brass rod, so there'll be a little rod across each shelf to kind of hold the bottles in, which will look nice, I think. And I'm also, because there's like some internal shelves and dividers and everything, and the outside of the cabinet's going to be mitered with splines, I was trying to think of like, is this going to be a pain to try and get all these brass rods in there where I want them to go? So what I decided to do, I don't know if this is a good idea or not, is I'm going to over drill one of my holes to hold the brass rod. The brass rod is 3/8 of an inch. And then I got some 3/8 of an inch springs, and I'm going to put one in the bottom of a hole so that I can push the rod down and then spring it back into the other one. Sure. Kind of lock them in place. So I think if I do it that way, I can put the rods in after assembly, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah.
So
we'll see if it works.
It's a good idea.
Anyways. This is what happens when I don't build a project in the shop for a really long time. I have too much time to think about it. And then when I finally get to building it in the shop, I've overthought everything.
Well, it's not as bad as Keith.
I think you spent too much time with me.
Probably.
Right. Keith, I mean, listen, your last project, what I mean, not last project, the one you're working on right now. No, the one you're working on right now, the vanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, I have no idea what you're doing on it. You have literally done so many different joinery methods on it and different ideas. And I mean, like every time I see you post about it, I'm like, what is he doing now?
You haven't got a feel for the like whole project yet.
It's the most complicated vanity I've ever seen in my entire life.
You're correct. I checked with the Guinness Book of World Records, and it is, in fact, the most overcomplicated. But I had to make it so it was modular. I was actually just talking with Matt right now on, like, because... So today I fit all the doors and the drawer. I didn't get the drawer fronts fully fitted, but I got all the doors. You know, it took me like 4 or 5 hours to get those inset doors perfect, nice reveals all the way around, nice and trimmed. And... I mean, all my face frame and leg, everything was tight, but it's still just loose. It's still just dry fit. So after I did all that, I put clamps over the full length of everything and just tightened them down to pull everything together. And all my doors went up, down, left, right, like completely out of square. Mm. And I was like, well, that's my own fault for not making sure that everything was clamped before I fitted these. But... with the adjustments in the hinges, I was able to get them back where they need to be fine. But the door front, drawer fronts, I think I'm going to wait until this thing is like fully assembled before I start messing with those, because there's a lot less adjustability there because they're smaller. Mm. I don't know. Originally, it was going to be the center bank of drawers as one cabinet separate, and then the left side and right side separate. And then I bring them into the house and put them all together. And I needed to do that with dominoes and lamellos for solid construction.
Why does it have to be modular? Because it won't fit in the...
I don't think it would fit. Number one, it's going to be super heavy. And I don't know. I was just going back and forth with Matt now. And I like, do you think it'll fit up the stairs and around the corner? Because ideally, it would be better to glue this thing all up in my shop as one piece. But... I just don't know, and I don't want to get there. Yeah. Like, this thing can't make the corner.
That would stink.
Oh man.
So I'm gonna do it. Either way, I'm gonna do it in two pieces.
Can't you just left flanking hook it
with the center? Hook it or flip it? Maybe pivot. I twisted it.
Pivot.
That sound
pivot.
He does with his mouth.
Pivot. Hook it.
Oh my god. Like the Merv Griffin set. I know. It's just kind of a risk. It's almost like I want to build a big piece of, or a big cardboard box and bring it up there, and we'll do a test.
Why don't
run
you build a scale model of his house and then build a smaller vanity to scale to match the scale model, and then you can just, with your fingers, try and run it through the house and see if it fits.
Oh. Or if he had, like, his whole house in SketchUp.
You know, we've got a similar thing that I'm still worried about. We, on this addition that we're building... So did I tell you guys that originally the addition was going to be 4 feet skinnier, and we made it 4 feet wider because my wife found this 10-foot coffee table, and we made the...
No.
10 feet? That's a lot of coffee.
It's a lot of coffee. Well, it wasn't it was an old, like, tannery cart or something, but she thinks it's really cool and would be a cool coffee table. But it's 10 feet long, and originally I was like, that's not going to fit up there. So we made the entire addition 4 feet wider for a coffee table. How stupid is that?
That's crazy.
But then with a 10-foot coffee table, you have to have a 10-foot couch to go in front of it because it would look funny if the...
Or two 5-foot couches.
So we bought a 10-foot couch. It'll be delivered in like 3 weeks. I don't know if we can fit. I don't know if we can get it up there. I don't know. It's got to go upstairs and around the corner. Yeah, I don't know if...
Yeah.
It's literally one piece.
One piece, 10 feet long.
Oh, pivot. Boy, that's going to get pivot. Cut in half.
Yeah. I don't know what we're going to do if it doesn't fit up there.
Oh, that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
So I'm a little nervous.
Yeah. Open and it's that a sleeper, window. So it's super heavy.
I will say it made me feel a little better. Sofa. The floorboards that are on the floor up there are 14 feet long, and we're able to get those up there, but they're one board, you know?
What? Yeah.
Right. Those are like 3/4 inch. Yeah. Oh, man. You're going to have to bust out a window.
Yeah, the ceiling is... just over 9 feet, though, so you can go up quite a bit. Yeah. So
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that's going to be quite the feat.
It's gonna be tight.
Does it need to go around a corner?
It's got
to
go
up the stairs.
It's got to go up the stairs, and the stairs are immediately around the corner inside the addition. And then it's got to go to a landing on the stairs and turn a corner and then go up the stairs.
Wait, like my house? Like it goes up a half a flight in the landing and then keeps going the opposite way?
Yours go straight up, and then they basically come back up the way that you just went.
Yeah.
This goes up, and then it's a 90-degree.
Immediately. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Left turn.
Yeah. Holy cow. Those delivery guys are going to hate you.
It.
Make sure you offer them a drink.
I'll throw some grape juice at them.
They're real men, you know.
Oh.
They sweat.
The white glove delivery.
Wow.
That's going to be awful.
Yeah. And me and my wife have this thing where we hate.
Please just videotape that whole delivery.
It could be bad. But I hate windows that open. I'm very anti-windows that open because we have a furnace and air conditioner. Why would we need to open a window? I like picture windows better because you can see out of them and they're, I don't know. So we put all picture windows up there. There's not a single window that opens. So there's not even an option of bringing it in through the window up there.
Oh my gosh. They are going to love
this is going.
You.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
Anyways.
Delivery day is going to be so much fun.
Yeah. All
right. Anyways, all to say, KJ, how much you got left on the
vanity? Okay, so it's done, except for now I have to break the whole thing down, sand everything, glue whatever back together, and start Rubioing. So, you know, there's a ton of work left, but I finally got over the hill. And now it's just the crappy stuff left.
Isn't everything ready for Rubio? Or do you need to
No, nothing sand? Is sanded and
nothing?
Edges, nothing.
Oh.
No. Oh. Well, at least that's the fun part,
except the pre-finished plywood. Yeah, Just disassembling this thing is a chore and reassembling.
At least the nice thing with vanities is you don't have to worry about a top on them.
That's true.
I mean, that's always nice.
Yeah.
That is the nice part.
Except that he has Craig screws and dominoes and lamellos.
I know, but vanities are always nice for usually for drawers and cabinet doors because you can reach in from the top and get to stuff.
No, it's definitely helpful.
Man.
So but for all intents and purposes, the construction is done. Mm. So
that's
tomorrow
good.
Or tonight, I'll start breaking this thing down and start the arduous task of
final sanding. What do you actually sand to for Rubio?
You know, it's funny you mention that, only because I'm using Castle Brown on this. So it's a darker color. And so I want good absorption, good color absorption into the white oak. So I figured you needed to water pop this just like stain on a hardwood floor that I learned at my sister's house.
Yeah.
So I did a water pop, and then you still have to kind of break that fuzz back down a little bit before you apply the Rubio. And there really wasn't any difference in the darkness of it. And then Fabian Winter, Fab in the basement, we were going back and forth because he recently had the Rubio rep at his house. And I talked to Jason a little bit about this too. And the Rubio rep says your best results for absorbing the most color in this white oak is to use the 3M Cubitron up to 150, not the regular Festool paper, and then use the cleaner, and then apply the oil. And I've pretty much got rid of all that Cubitron because I don't like the dust collection on it, and it destroys my sanding pad, and it doesn't stay on the pad. It doesn't.
Really?
I mean, I did a test side by side, and it just clogs up the pad
itself.
If you
did a test,
the dust collection. Yeah.
Well, because it's got all those little tiny holes, right?
Yeah, it's a hybrid. It's got half sandpaper and then half netting. Any net paper, the Abernet, whatever, I just don't have good luck with. I don't know.
That's
a
shame.
I bought some cleaner against my better judgment. Spent $40 on mineral spirits, I guess. So I'm going to do it the way... And so when I did a side-by-side of Cubitron versus just regular 150 Ruben, of Festool Ruben,
yeah,
there was no difference in darkness, but the Cubitron did look browner, and the regular Festool paper looked a little more golden.
That's crazy.
I don't even know how that's possible, but it was definitely a visual difference.
Wow.
So, and now I didn't use any cleaner, but I just blew it out with compressed air. So I'm gonna use the Cubitron. I'm going to use the cleaner because I really want the maximum color on this. And we'll see what happens.
Interesting.
That's what I go up to. It is. And it's just so frustrating.
You know, it's just I'm amazing interested that a different to sandpaper. See. I just bought, because I used it when I was down at J-Cat's, and I just want to use it more and kind of see what I think about it. I bought 3M's new sander, which is very similar to, it's like a cross between the Merca and the Festool ETS EC or whatever it's called. Yeah. But I'm one.
Still with the paddle.
It still has the paddle, right? Which I don't know if I love the paddle. And it takes a long time to shut off, which I don't like.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's got to wind
but
down.
But I'm wondering if I use the 3M sander with 3M sandpaper, because I've had the same issue with the pads sticking to the Festool. I wonder if it'll stick better to the 3M, if their pads have like a better, you know, marrying technology, because it's 3M sandpaper on a 3M sander. I don't know.
What's bizarre is like my sander is literally brand new because I just bought a new one. I use it. So it's not like it's an old pad or anything. It was literally used once. So, but the guy in Germany, Fabian, sent me a video too of him using that paper on his pad and it didn't clog it. Now he had the tall Festool sander, but he was using a CT26-2 for dust collection.
Yeah, but he's in Europe. I don't know. The sanders go the opposite direction over there.
No, but I also think the paper could be different. Maybe there's a different material on the back
they're
of the
still
paper,
using
like, you know, products
over there.
What the?
I don't know. It's just so frustrating. And that just goes to show you, everybody has different results with the same product, which...
Yeah.
So that's why people like different things and different tools. Mm.
I will say toilet paper is different in Europe. True, you go over there, their toilet paper is not the same.
Well, it's not Charmin.
Yeah, it's more like... Yeah. Feels more like newspaper.
Oh, yeah. God. You got to bring
your
wipes.
Yes. Yeah, it's neat.
I don't
New
go
York
anywhere
Times
without my dude wipes.
Maybe Charmin. Their sandpaper is different, too. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I don't go anywhere without a bidet. Mm.
You got a porta bidet that you just put in your carry-on?
Mm-hmm. They had a bidet at the Airbnb we stayed at in Santa Barbara. It almost blew me off the toilet. It was powerful.
I will not go anywhere unless that toilet has a bidet.
Oh, wow.
I watched some TikTok video where a girl bought one, installed it, and tried it, showed her trying it out for the first time. She sits on it, presses a button. You know, her eyes like light up, like what the hell? And then all of a sudden, she spits water out of her mouth. I've seen it.
That's funny. It's
pretty clever. She basically got a colonic.
That's how it feels. It's the best.
Well, I've had several colonics, and I can tell you, after having 50 gallons of water up your colon and intestine,
50 gallons
pass on the bidet. Oh, yeah, they empty the whole thing over, like, a period of 30 minutes.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Goes in, flushes, comes out. Oh, it's a whole
It doesn't start coming out your mouth, though?
Procedure. No, it didn't.
No.
I was waiting for it to, like, come out my ears, dripping out my ears.
Your back teeth
else.
Are floating.
Is that where they do, like they squirt other stuff besides water up there, like green tea or coffee, or it's just water?
No, I do. No, you do the coffee by yourself.
Stuff. Oh.
Yeah.
I've done that, too.
Yeah.
I've done that too.
All right.
I love some homebrew colonics.
Weird, wet, and wild.
Weird and wild stuff.
Tastes great.
The topics we get on, I love it.
Yeah, let's. So, Nick, your guitar, what is. Now, wait, what is the grain on that guitar? It's like.
Which grain?
Is it Doug?
I don't know. The latest one you've been posting on. The Stratocaster?
No. It's
like
zebra.
Oh, that's
zebra.
I thought it was riffs on Doug Fir. Is what?
Nope.
Or
it's
ash?
Yeah, it's pressure treated yellow pine. Yeah. No, it's zebra wood, and it's cool. I mean, I can't it's say different. Anything other than it's a really cool looking guitar. Like it looks just like a zebra. I mean, if you think black and white, except
just
that
like a zebra.
Well, I know. Think of a zebra.
I know,
you know
what
how
a zebra
has stripes,
like.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think
zebras
about that.
Zebras don't have frets. Zebras don't have strings.
Well, I fretted a zebra.
They do have tuning.
They don't have
I fretted
dial.
A zebra.
Whammy bar.
No
I
whammy
bet they
bar.
Do, actually. The males do.
Well, it's true.
Well, yeah. The
whammy.
That's right. The males do have a whammy bar. Oh. But no,
what's black
I,
and white and red all over?
A nun rolling down a hill.
A sunburnt zebra.
Oh, right.
Penguin in a blender.
No, I love that zebra wood. It's
wild.
Looks cool. Yeah, it's super wild, and it's one of those like not your typical guitar wood.
Does it lose its flavor in 3 seconds? Because zebra stripe gum does.
Yeah, zebra stripe gum is the worst.
It's worse
like
than
one chew,
gum.
Two chew, gone. It's done. Yeah, zebra stripe. What's the other? It's a fruit stripe.
Yeah,
fruit stripe gum.
It's literally the same gum that they used to put in baseball cards. You'd chew it as soon as you finally got into a ball out of a stick, it was done.
Yep. You're like, I've got my rookie Bo Jackson.
Oh, if you're lucky.
Yeah, and the gum is done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got the white powder on it, which you would hope would be cocaine, but it's not.
Right.
It's like cornstarch.
Right.
To keep it from
it's
sticking.
Terrible. Yeah.
But what about the carbon fiber epoxy? Like,
how many guitars are you working
on
right
now? Yeah, this guy's a friggin'
machine. Well, I finished the carbon fiber. Well, you know what? It's right here.
Good.
Good.
Let me show
this
you.
Is great podcast, for an audio podcast.
Wow.
Oh, dang. Ooh.
This is the carbon fiber telly with the reverse Stratocaster neck. Yep.
Oh, I could tell right away that was a reverse.
Yeah, it's upside down.
Anybody with two eyes can reverse this is, or with two
Wait,
eyes
but
can
the image
see.
Is in reverse. So that's,
no,
oh.
The image is right. So
okay. It's right.
Yeah,
left,
this
right.
Is an Instagram. Yeah,
wrong.
So this is the full guitar. It's set up. It's great. It plays great. I just posted a reel on IG of me playing it. So it plays great. It is a really 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 nice. I mean, in my best Trump. It's a really nice guitar.
That was a horrible Trump.
It's a great
which
guitar.
Trump?
I can't
Trump
do Trump. I
Donald
can't do
Trump.
Donald
Trump
Jr.? Yeah, Trump Jr.
Okay.
It's a great guitar.
So are you
guitar.
Selling that, or it's just going on your wall behind you?
I will sell it if somebody wants it.
How much?
But it will, $1,200.
Sold. Send it my way. Send you a check.
All right, perfect. I'll send it to you. I'll have Craig send me a check.
Because I might have to build a guitar for a video, and if I just buy that one, I can fake it.
Really? What are you doing for... Why do you need to make a guitar?
I don't want to talk
We're
about this
one
yet.
We're going to do
one for Stuma. Well, that's good for audio.
I don't want to talk
about
this yet.
I don't
want
to talk about
this.
Okay. Well, maybe I will send it your way then.
I kid. I don't know how to play the guitar.
Do you not at all?
I know a
can
little
Can anybody
bit.
Learn?
Yeah.
I know a D chord. I know that.
That's great.
Yep, and that's it.
I used to have a Honda A chord. I had three, actually. Mm-hmm. They played great. Ran forever.
I used to have
a
nice sustain on those.
Oh, that's
funny. Now that's an instrument I could see you playing. You on the recorder, Craig on the
somebody just sent me accordion. A 3D printed tin whistle. Did I tell you guys that already?
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. And it sounds pretty good for being 3D printed. I was impressed, yeah.
Really?
Well, how do they make the real
that
ones?
That is pretty wild.
Carve
it out of an elephant tusk?
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Well, what else? What's new? What's happening?
Oh, so, you know, we were talking in the pre-show or whatever you want to call it.
The like, pre-show? The
technology issues I've had. So, like a week and a half ago.
And we're just talking before we start? That's the pre-show.
I got up one morning and went out in the shop because I had to take a quick picture or whatever for the thumbnail on this YouTube.
I thought you were going to say pissed. I had to take a quick piss.
Sure. Well, I do that. That's a given. And there was, my screen was all fractured. Like there was a crack in it. And I look at it and all the lenses are
Your
perfect.
Phone screen?
Nothing wrong with it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like when I went to take a picture, yeah, it would show. But when I looked at the screen, it's fine. And when I looked at all the lenses, they were fine. So like, what the hell's going on? I thought, I didn't know what I thought. I thought it was just dirty. Anyway, it wasn't. So there was a tiny like hairline crack in the main lens, because on the back of the iPhone there's three big lenses that are all the same. So it was on the bottom main one, so the macro lens was fine. So anyway, I'm like, oh, what the hell now? So I go to Apple and they're like, well, you don't have Apple Care, so it'd be $550 for us to fix it. I'm like, 550? The phone's only worth 1200. So they're like, oh, well, you have to go to Verizon if you have insurance through them. It's like, okay. So go to Verizon. Like, yep, we can do it, but it's your deductible is $250.
It's better than $550.
So I was talking to Pete, Petrie's Workshop from another Woodshop podcast, and he used to be an Apple genius. And he goes, no, dude, you're still in the – because I just got this 2 weeks ago. He's like, just sign up for Apple Care. You're still eligible, and then – just get on an online chat with them and they'll go through, like, try to diagnose it and they won't find anything wrong with it. And then you just send it in and get a new phone. So I did that and I'm waiting for my new phone. But in the meantime, I bought, because I've seen other people who have the Samsung Galaxy, like the quality just looks better. It seems to do better in low light. And when it's.
You bought a lot Samsung of light. Galaxy?
So I bought a Samsung Galaxy S22.
Wait, what?
Just let me finish. Because I was like, wow, because I can't film anything right now anyway until I get a new iPhone. So I'm like, I need something. So let me just buy one and try it. If I don't like it, I'll return it. You get 14 days. So I've been messing with that on the second part of this vanity build. And while it takes better pictures and it looks better in video on the phone, but when you actually get it into Final Cut and all this, like, it over-sharpens the hell out of everything.
Yep.
And it's just funky. And what I realized tonight, I'm probably going to need your little help with this, Nick, is I don't know, I'm using my same DJI wireless mic setup. It, like, adds so much gain to the audio. I don't know how.
Oh, really?
But, like, even when I bring it all the way down and correct it, it just sounds like I'm in an echo chamber.
Mm. Well, that sucks.
So now, but I have to kind of fumble with it through it until I get my new iPhone.
That's because you bought a Samsung.
Well, listen, the iPhone video has its issues too, which is why I explored the other options.
That's true. That's why I went a completely different route, and I've got a whole nother 2023 rig that's not an iPhone.
Listen, it's beautiful, but it's not portable.
Yeah. Way down jig.
I'm not going to put it in. I'm not going to put it in my pocket. That's for sure.
This is why, Keith, you should have a filming phone and then just a regular use phone.
How many phones do you have?
That doesn't improve
Jason?
The video quality in my shop. Like, it's like too bright in there sometimes.
How many phones do I have?
My lights are so high. I have two iPhones. It doesn't help me.
Oh my
He's
gosh.
Got his naughty
you have,
boy phone.
Do you
his
have
filming
three
phone.
Phones?
This is my music phone. So this one's always connected to the Bluetooth speaker. This is my phone call phone. And then this is our camera.
Oh my gosh.
And I just bought Craig a new iPhone because that one's smaller and it fits in the gimbal better.
Wow.
So all in all, people are like, oh, I got this fancy camera. Like, how much did that camera cost that you have, Nick?
$1,800. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I've got about $7,000 in iPhones that I film with, so.
Yeah, so.
Take that.
Well, the thing with the Samsung Galaxy is you can go into Pro Video and you can mess with everything. You can change saturation and white balance. And so there's a lot more options there, but it still doesn't give me what I want. I'm just not getting the quality that I want. So I'm just going back to the iPhone and just going to. It's fine. Listen, it's at Jason's shop. It works great. In mine, even though everything's 5,000K and perfect, I think it's just because my ceilings are so high.
You think your shop's not bright enough or too bright?
I think it's too bright. Yes. I have to turn off and on lights a lot.
See, I was going to say, because when I went down to JCats, we were both filming a video, right? And I've always filmed with my iPhone, which I did when I was down there. And I never light anything. It's just, it is what it is, yeah. And I feel like the lighting's fine. Well, they had this giant, like, you know, lights on stands that kept carrying around everywhere we were working. But everything on my phone was really washed out more than it normally is because it was too bright for the iPhone.
Yeah.
Right.
It struggles mightily.
Can you switch your lights to a dimmer so you could control the light?
I think I can. Yeah, I put diffuser sheets on them.
What you need to do is put something over your iPhone to knock down the light.
Basically, I made a cardboard thing to shield the light from coming down.
You basically
I made a shutter.
Yeah, it's called an ND filter, but it would basically be like sunglasses for your iPhone. Mm.
Or like a salute.
So just like a visor, like you're wearing a hat.
Salute for your iPhone.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, which I literally made one, Nick, out of cardboard last week, and it did help. It definitely helped.
It helps because what happens is the iPhone can't compensate for how bright it is.
Mm.
So what it says is, this is my best image.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, what you've got. And what you actually need to do every time is to then, you know, tap on the screen and bring it down.
I had to do that when we were down at JCats.
And that's really annoying.
It is.
For you two guys that just want to film every time, you need to have basically some sort of sunglass on your lens every time. And that's basically going to be some sort of like tint.
You know what
lens.
I was thinking would be a genius idea for Apple to do? Because there's so many people that are using iPhones to film with. And with the autofocus sometimes now, like, it'll focus on the wrong thing. You'll be walking around, and then you realize you'll be out of focus. They should make some little card that syncs up with your phone, and you can put it in your pocket, and somehow your camera can track in on wherever that card is as you're walking around on screen. So it, like, focuses on that. Like, it would just read it. However, I don't know. Stuff reads well.
Just like your background right now.
Yeah, it's now focused on me.
Well, it's because I put my hand up here, and now it's... Okay, there we go.
So, but Nick, you think an actual, like, thing that goes over the lens itself, like right over the lens?
Yeah. So basically what you're... If the environment is too bright, what... The lens needs to do is have something to compensate and make it darker.
What's the thing you put on a camera, like a solar filter? What are those things
called? No, it's called an ND filter, neutral density. And I use them in my shop when I want to knock down the light. And it basically is, I mean, in layman's terms, it's sunglasses for your lens. So like when you walk outside and it's too bright for your eyes, what do? You put sunglasses on.
I squint.
Yeah, well, you do. I put on sunglasses so that I can actually see.
I bet they make a product like this. They make all those like lenses that clip onto your iPhone now. I bet they make some sort of thing that goes over it.
No, yeah, I guarantee there is something that you could clip on your iPhone, and it would be an ND.
Because if there's one thing I've come to learn on this podcast, it's when I have a brilliant idea, it already exists.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
it already flavors of chips in one bag. Already exists.
Already exists.
Ketchup and mustard in the same bottle?
Already exists. That's right. But for sure. I mean, if you're trying to film something that's too bright and you don't want to have to tap on the screen and then drag it down for your exposure so that it exposes correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want it to already have something over the lens so that it doesn't see that it's so bright. And that's that's exactly what an ND filter will do for you.
This got a whole thing. It includes that's what I was thinking, a polarized filter. So it's got a
polarizer,
soft graduated ND 1.2 filter, and a little clip that goes over the phone. Wow. All right,
a polarizer is something that you can see through glass. So that actually cuts through the glare. Yeah. That glass creates.
Remember
so you can
when
see through glass?
Jokes were a thing?
Okay. Yeah.
When did that stop?
World War II, something like that.
Oh my God.
Are they not Polack jokes aren't a thing anymore? It just made me think it's polarizer. No.
Well, it's really not. A bummer.
Peter Kapar has bunch of Polack jokes.
Yeah. He was, we were driving. Where the heck were we driving? Oh, went down to see this lumber guy. Yeah, last 2 weeks ago or whatever. And he had to make a call to his mother in Poland. And yeah, he like speaks fluent Polish. It was wild. I don't know if he was like calling a hit out on me over the phone. I couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
All in Polish.
It's like, bro, you need to kind of enunciate. Let me know what you're saying in Polish.
All right. So yeah, oh, my God. That one's... Yeah, so it's like $45. So I'm going to get this thing and see what happens.
Yeah.
See if that helps. It's just... And now, but the audio is all frigged up on this part of the video and... Like, even when I focused on things, like, now I was just editing before we got on, and some of it's just blurry. And, like, it's frustrating after how many years of an iPhone have we had and then trying to transition to a Samsung and the way things are.
Yeah, you got to, like, relearn everything. It's weird that it made the gain, like, all out of whack, though. Did you know when I was doing the Magnolia pilot, they were telling me how they can't mic up Chip and Joanna and all their kids at the same time because the audio quality is horrible. It says just too many gains.
It's too many mics. Oh. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
You had me.
Too many gains.
Yeah. You got me.
Wow.
Jesus. Oh, Lordy. I was the like technical guy waiting for an actual problem, and you got me.
Sorry.
You got me.
I've been thinking about that joke ever since the last time he was talking about the Samsung. It's been like 10 minutes now.
Oh, that is so funny. Too many gains.
So, yeah.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Well, what else we got to talk about?
I had mentioned to Nick or you guys in a group text, like, I had more commission requests come in this week than I had, like, all last year. And, like, they're all good. And I don't know. I went to look at two walnut desks on Wednesday up in Connecticut, and they're, like, hot to trot for these things. So I need to finish this vanity and kind of jump on those. But they need them for, like, beginning of March. I don't even know how that's going to be remotely possible.
March of 2024.
Not at your speed.
No. And not with, you know, we got festival event. That's 4 days out of the shop. Workbench con.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, if you are wanting to go to Workbench con.
Okay, wait. First of all, can I just say something before we announce this? I feel bad because I don't know if you guys know, but I was on another woodshop podcast. I won't tell you the name, but I was on another podcast. and I felt bad because they were announcing that they had a code for Workbench Con, and I chimed in and I gave our code, and they didn't get a chance to give their code. So I thought it would only be fair if I gave you their code right now. If you're going to Workbench Con and you want to save $50 off, use the coupon code ShopSounds.
ShopSounds.
And you can get $50 off your ticket.
I love it.
There you go.
It's true. It's the only way to save money.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta go.
That's all I have to say about that.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's so good. Love it.
Oh, but no, you should go. Well, Keith, I hope you
absolutely,
you know, can find the time to do it. Are you filming a video? You're filming a video on this vanity.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You'd film videos on those desks. I mean, that is. Do you think that is what makes it take longer, or does that not affect it really that much?
In this part two of this vanity is it's definitely having an impact because Celice kind of sponsoring and they give all the slides and hinges. So I'm trying to go into more detail about installing those and everything.
Is that the first time you've used that brand? I've never heard of that brand before.
Yeah.
Do you like them?
Yeah.
The slides are phenomenal.
Tell us more about Celice.
Well, it's, I think.
Wait.
They're Italian Silencio. Made.
No, that's Mexican.
No, that's the name of the hinges.
No.
Silencia, right.
Oh, yeah. Silencia.
Silencia Plus.
Celice
Yeah, so the slides Italiano. Are very similar to Bloom. They're undermounts, you know, the notch in the back and all that, but they're rack and pinion, so there's the lateral play isn't like you know, because normally the Blums, you sit in there and they just kind of glide or whatever on those pistons, but these have rack and pinion gears that go all the way front and back, so they're a lot smoother. And they're a little more heavy
duty.
Are
you converting, you think?
They're like...
Yeah. Converted. Wow. Yeah. I'll have to give them a try. I'm always on the lookout for something better. They're 150-pound
loan rating, I think, on those.
Do they have all the same options as Bloom? Can you get the, like, Movento and, like, the push to open and all that stuff?
Yes, you can get the push to open. I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if they have push to open and soft close like Movento. That I don't know. I haven't explored the full product line. But the hinges I have are black or they're titanium. So those are pretty cool.
Just like black.
Yeah, I figured. They pair really nicely with the Castle Brown on this vanity. Mm.
Beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, it's pretty much very similar stuff. I think they have probably a wider catalog of items. But, you know, for what I'm going to do, it's slides and hinges. So...
For sure.
I dig. And I just, you know, I think it has to be said, like, Bloom, when during COVID, like, they just screwed every small guy.
Well, they screwed themselves, too, because how many people hunted down different options during COVID because they couldn't get Bloom and now found something they like better?
Right. And Celiche was like, they love the small cabinet maker. And even now, I was on a site a couple weeks ago just looking at Blum slide prices, and there was a minimum. You had to order a minimum of 25 pairs of slides. What are you talking about? Like, who can afford that?
One piece of furniture for me. I mean, I usually use like 50 slides per piece of furniture.
So I just feel like they're much more in tune with the smaller guy rather than the big guys who are buying thousands.
Well, yeah, I feel like Bloom is actively trying to get away from selling to smaller guys and trying to just sell to like larger
bulk. Yeah.
Wow.
Because from what I hear, that you know, their line in South Carolina or North Carolina, wherever it is, like they only have one line, so every time they want to change from 18s to 21s, they have to change all the tooling. So they can't be making more than one size at the same time.
Stupid.
That's what I heard.
That's not smart.
Right. But, you know, I don't take that as
possible. That is the opposite of smart.
But anyway, I mean, Celiche, like, the guy stopped by my house yesterday to drop off a jig. He was driving from New York back to
Mr. Celiche?
Lancaster.
Mr. Celiche?
Not Mr. I think it was his...
Celiche Jr.?
One of his cousins. And they came out to my shop, two of the guys, to do a demo on the stuff, and we went over what I had to order.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're way more... customer oriented.
Hey, on that note, not to completely change the subject, have you guys ever used a Panto router?
I haven't used it. I've seen it in action live, but
never seen it.
Because they reached out to me and they apparently are an Oregon-based company. They're right down the road from me.
They are.
Anyways, and they offered to come down to my shop and bring a router and teach me how to use it and leave it in my shop. And I've never used one, but I'm genuinely curious about it. I've seen them in action, and it seems cool. So we're going to set up a time, and I'm kind of excited to learn from somebody how to use it and all that stuff. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, I remember way back when it first kind of came out, they did the same thing to me. They offered me one, but I was like, it doesn't matter in your shop, but it takes up a little bit of a footprint. And with the Domino... you can use it for other things, but you know, if you need to put a tenon on a piece of round stock, or if you want big integral tenons for making beds and tables, it's great.
Well, said it also
with
does
the Domino and the Domino
dovetails
XL
dovetails and box joints and all that stuff.
So does the Shaper.
Yeah, yeah, I know, Keith. But sometimes it's good to learn new things. All right. What do you
got
to dump?
Is.
Every
it's
time I bring up something cool, no, you do this
those...
every time I bring up something cool, you got to dump
no,
all over
gonna
it.
No, it's going to be one of those tools that you forget how to use it, and you got to go with the instructions.
But
like,
they
so my
live
dovetail,
45 minutes
for sure.
down well, the road, so every time I have a project,
but,
I'd be like, hey,
how do I use
you
this
remind
thing?
Me?
Yeah, could bring them on down. But I will say, it is an awesome, phenomenal, well-built, and like really cool with all the different templates and patterns you can use on it. And listen, if I had the room, I would definitely have one, because I would love to have that thing here, but I just don't have
what. What router are you going to put on
I don't know.
I think it comes with one, doesn't it? Have its own spindle?
It does. I mean, I don't have a router for it. I would assume they would tell me if I need to get one.
Yeah?
I don't know.
Hey, have you guys seen the Jessam reels that they're posting on this? It's almost it's a domino maker that you have to like put your drill in and you start drilling and you move the thing back and forth with a handle to create the slot like a domino. It's like it looks like the most labor intensive thing. It's like $300 or $400. I'm like, why just buy the domino? It is so much easier. Yeah, if you go check out the Jets. It's talking about reinventing the wheel for a lot. I don't know. I was going to send that to you guys.
Hey, I was talking to, because you have the Jessam thing for the table saw, right? What's it called?
Yeah.
Hold down thing.
Clear stock guy.
And I was at Jay Katz, and he's got one on his table saw, but it's not Jessam. It's some other brand, Ishitane, Watsukani. I don't know. Anyways, and he had to like tap and screw that into his table saw fence. But I was telling him, I thought the way you did it was mag switches, right?
Yeah, I screwed it into a piece of walnut and then used mag switches. So
yes, yeah,
you have to take that thing on and off all the time. It just gets in the way.
Yeah. Well, I told him that and he's like, I don't think mag switches would hold hard enough. And I said, I'm pretty sure Keith did a video where he was trying to pull that thing off and it wouldn't budge.
Yeah, they're 150 pound mag switches.
Yeah.
Now, the only safety thing that you can also do is because magnets don't necessarily hold, like when you try to slide them, when you try to lift off, yeah, you can't lift it. It'll lift the whole saw. But if you got a severe piece of kickback, they may slide. That whole thing could potentially slide on. I don't think it ever would, but it could. So instead, you can just build a little tab on the far end of it so it sits over the fence so it locks it in.
Well, so with the Jessam one,
yeah.
Is it like you would screw the thing to your table saw and that's it? If you want to get it off, you have to unscrew it?
Yeah, you can slide those, like the actual hold down wheels, you can slide those off if you want to, but yeah, the track remains there.
Yeah. Interesting.
I didn't want that because I have that on probably 20% of the time. The other time it's
off. How long do you think it'll be before we discover that having mag switches in close proximity to your saw stop blade like cancels out the, you know, safety technology and you can cut your finger off?
I don't think it's the same tech.
No, I don't think so. It,
yeah, you're not completing a circuit.
That'd
but,
be so funny if you cut your finger off.
I thought you were going to say until we determine that the magnets make you...
Sterile,
that's what I'm looking for, yeah.
Speaking of saw stops, did you guys see that video floating around of the guy cutting a circle on the saw stop? And
oh, the girl.
Was it a girl?
Yeah,
it was a lady, yeah.
Man, makes your...
Pretty puckering.
Puckering, yeah. But it's one of those that it just shows you can make mistakes so easy because she even said in the comments she didn't even realize she was holding on to the spinning part to pull it back until she rewatched the video. Like you're just doing things and you're not even thinking. But it just brings me back to, and I've said this before, I don't know why anybody cuts circles on the frickin' table saw. It's stupid.
I would never.
It's weird.
You know, ever since the first time I saw somebody with a circle jig on the table saw, I was like, why would you even?
Yeah, there's so many other ways to do it.
Like, there's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I've never, ever once said, that's what I'm going to do.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe, like, for those few people that don't have a hole saw that big, I don't know.
I mean, but you could do a jigsaw and then...
A jigsaw?
Yeah, you could do a jigsaw and then flush it up with a router after the fact.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Or a router. It wouldn't have to be if you have a router to flush it up with after the fact, why don't you just do it with a router to begin with?
Do it first time. Right. Well, I mean, if you did it with a jigsaw, then you could take off most of the meat first and then your bit wouldn't have to work as hard.
Mm.
Hey-o.
I hate it when my bit has to work as hard because it doesn't have enough meat.
Like
yeah.
That's right.
Anyways, on that note, I wanted to thank our returning top-tier patrons, Chris Hornberger, David Devanzo at Hollow and Round. We got Henry Lutens, Chris Greenwood, Aristotle Spinobifilus, Everett Wood, Callan Rutherford, Brendan Caulfield, Jamie Majerik, Ray Rodriguez, Mike Lydon, Scott Holland at Elevated Wood Design, Jordan at Rustic Creations, Eric Spensley at Spensley Design Co., Adam McKeon, Alan Duranberg, Nolan Russell, Andreas Wendier from Sweden, Yono Reich, Yono 28, Nicholas Fairfield, Fairfield Woodworks with an X, Michael Olson, M.J.Olson2181, who I think has been a patron since the beginning.
The very beginning.
And Nick.
He's a founding
Leonard at Stated Woods Co. I think both Nick and Michael have been around since way. I mean, a lot of these people have. Yono's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
People must just like, they're the kind of people that sign up for something and then they forget they're signed up for it, you know?
Like the gym membership. Yeah.
Don't remind them.
Yeah, sorry. Come on.
Anyways, a big thanks to all of them. What were you going to say, Keith?
I forget. I was stupid. Oh.
Okay.
Obviously.
A big thanks to all of our patrons. And if you're not one, go sign up. Patreon.com/ShopSoundsPodcast. And yeah, you get access to the after show. For our top tier patrons, I'll give you a secret code to get access to the Another Woodshop after show because they don't know I still have it. And anyways, we appreciate you.
And don't forget about the Workbench Con
ShopSounds.
Discount code, ShopSounds. Mm-hmm. Save you $50.
$50.
Woo!
That's right.
And it gives us $50.
And that's right. Your $50 goes right to us.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And then we will in turn use that to buy you beer at WorkbenchCon.
At WorkbenchCon.
Yeah. That is correct.
Anyways, we're going to go to the after show now, and we got a bunch of questions from our current patrons, and we're going to answer them over there. There are
quite a few this week.
Holy shiitake mushroom.
Is there 11? 12. 12?
Oh, yep.
There's a lot of them. Anyways.
Careful, the guy with the dog is going to have to deal with all the beeps.
Yeah. We're going to go answer those.
I got it.
You guys got anything else to say before we drive over there?
I may need a quick nap before we delve into 12 questions.
Seriously.
We'll make 11, them quick.
11, 12, yeah. All right.
They'll be
rapid
quick.
Fire. Speed round.
I'm supposed to...
That's right.
I'm supposed to have a movie night with my wife and son tonight, so we got to go.
We got time. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
All right. We'll see you guys in the next
Bye,
one.
Bye, guys.
See you.
I love you.